Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, June 26th, 2013 edition of the Sands United Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. In diaries today, we do have a diary by Boyan, who is describing a PHP shell that a reader recently submitted. This particular shell isn't so far noteworthy that it adds quite a number of interesting features, like, for example, MD5 cracking. Interesting was also how this particular shell was found. The reader who submitted this particular shell did see a large number of outbound network connections from the infected host, which then caused his firewall logs to log alerts. First of all, many administrators still ignore outbound connections from servers. That's certainly something you should be monitoring. And as Boyan notes, also other statistics like, for example, spikes in CPU usage and such should be monitored and investigated. The difficult part sometimes is to make this monitoring scale and then also to eliminate false positives. So if you have any interesting ideas and experiences there, please share them with us. Personally, I do prefer a mix of homewritten scripts and Nagios, where quite frequently I use Nagios to monitor the output of these homewritten scripts. So with Nagios, you can monitor most of these standard parameters like load and the disk issues on your servers. But for your own applications, for example, it may be nice to write a little plugin that you can use with Nagios to then monitor your own scripts. And in the wake of all the talk about Prism and the NSA reading everybody's email, a Korean individual who apparently worked in the past as a contractor for the NSA came up with an interesting idea to use a difficult to OCR font to essentially encode messages and make them harder to read. I doubt this will actually make any difference for all the email interception and such, because if you look at an email message, the font information is usually kept separate from the actual text. The text is still ASCII, and then just as the mail client renders the email, the font is applied to this ASCII text. So in the end, the email on the wire is still just standard ASCII code and pretty easy to read and parse. As the blog article notes, it's probably more of an art project than actually a serious countermeasure against email sniffing. And a number of different Android LG smartphones are vulnerable to a privilege escalation vulnerability due to a pre-installed backup software. The backup software contains of two parts, the front-end part, which is just called backup and is pre-installed on these phones, and the back-end of the software, SpriteBot, that is running as root. The reason for it running as root is that it does have to restore the backups, so it has to change user permissions and the actual owners of the files. But the way it does that is that it first stages the files, then copies them over one by one. So what the exploit does is it creates a first file that's very large, so it takes a little time to actually copy the file over. And while this file is being copied, another file is then just replaced with a symlink that is going to install the SUID shell, and then the user will gain root via this shell that's now being installed by this backup software. This is a very typical Unix style flaw. We have seen this many, many times in different Unix versions of software that doesn't really create these temporary files securely. And well, sometimes the bad guys have problems too. In this case, the people behind Carburb. This Trojan's source code was leaked. It looks like the source is complete, actually includes bootkits and such from a couple of other malware families. Usually, this particular malware retails for $40,000. Given that the source is now pretty much freely available, we will probably see more and
different tools that are based on this particular source code. From a defensive point of view, of course, this gives antivirus companies and so a chance to actually look at the source code instead of relying purely on reverse analysis of samples found in the wild. Interestingly, the source file was first released as an encrypted zip file, and the password for that zip file was released later separately. Not really sure whether or not it was released from the same source or if someone was able to brute force the password. Well, this is it for today, so thanks again for listening. There may not be a podcast for Thursday. Still have to see how my travel schedule will work out. Thanks for listening, and talk to you again on Thursday or Friday. Bye.